Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our lives to this sport. We do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We attitude. We moody, and we go into that fight and to land on the line.
College Ball Show is back. He's Marshall. I'm Chris, and we're here to discuss everything that involves college football. Now, obviously, we got to start the program with some recap from Week 9, which was a pretty wild week of football, no doubt about it. Had a lot of movement, had a lot of tight games. Several upsets. There was a lot of ranked, you know, teams going head up with another ranked team. But all in all, there was 11 total teams defeated inside the top 25. Now, sure, like I mentioned, when you match, you know, top 25 against top 25 ranked teams, stuff's going to happen. But it was a record 11 teams inside the top 25, the AP top 25 anyway, not the new top 25, the official top 25. And also, coming into this week anyway, you know, Associated Press poll, you know, by that standard, there were 7 newly ranked programs. That also was a record. I was talking to several guys from Syracuse at my bar on Sunday. They were really jacked up from a big win. And they said, "Do you think we're going to get ranked?" I said, "Oh, you're going to get ranked. You're definitely going to get ranked." And then a couple hours later, they got ranked, you know, for the Associated Press. I think they got up to like 22 or 23 or something, but they got ranked higher, I believe, in general. So we're going to start with that. Then in the middle there, before we get to Week 10, which is just chock full of marquee matchups, a ton of games flying under the radar. But we're going to get to the college, the first college football playoff rankings. Okay, it came out yesterday. We're going to go through the top 25 to an extent. Obviously, the talker really doesn't totally matter at this point. We've seen, what was it, Ohio State, the 15th ranked team or something like that, win a national championship. The first rankings, oddly enough, number three in the first rankings, when you're number three, I think Notre Dame was that, and they just got the horse snot. I don't think horse snots ever. I was going to say something more, but it was going to be dirty. They got their butt kicked by Miami. Miami actually peaked in that game. They never were the same. Probably haven't been the same since that game, if we're being honest. But that number three spot in the last couple of years has been a jinx. I think they lost 2 out of their next 4 after that as well. But the reason why I say number three, LSU, number four, Notre Dame, one's undefeated, one, you know, has one loss, but a better resume. It did seem like in September, Notre Dame had the best resume. Some of those teams have come back, you know, to the pack. So we're going to discuss the rankings and see if there's any surprises, any shockers. But, of course, we're going to have to talk about all these games for Week 10. Number one, Alabama versus number three, LSU. Number six, Georgia versus number nine, Kentucky. And number nine, maybe at the beginning of the season for Kentucky basketball, would be looked at like, oh, so they're going to have a down year because they have so much potential on their teams, of course. But generally, you know, year in and year out. But number nine for Kentucky football is pretty freaking crazy, man. That is really crazy. But it's true. And I got to say, we haven't been sleeping. We haven't been sleeping on them, that's for sure. We've been following them even sometimes more than we think we should. Gosh, should we stop talking about this? I mean, they're going to lose at some point. Well, they lost and then picked up some more wins. They actually had a kind of a miracle ending their last in their last game. We'll get to that as well. Number 5, Michigan versus number 14, Penn State. Number 13, West Virginia versus number 17, Texas. And more, you know, all included in that week 10 schedule. So we got a lot to talk about. Now, if this is your first time listening to the College Ball Show, we stream it live right here. It archives. It's basically the headquarters right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. But we're available under the Ropeadope Radio podcast umbrella everywhere. iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM. A whole lot of different places. We're also part of the Grueling True Sports Podcast Network. That's the Grueling Sports Podcast Network. It's a you can subscribe to it anywhere, including Spotify. That's right. You can stream this show on Spotify and on iHeartRadio. I know a lot of people like to listen to their sports that way on iHeartRadio as well. Head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. It's football, it's basketball, it's boxing, it's baseball, it's everything in between. I say this every week, but they even have CFL stuff on there. So that tells you how deep they go. So thegruelingtruth.net, go you know, read an article. I do my weekly predictions on there for college football. Also write boxing as well. Check it out. You can listen to a podcast right there. You can listen to this podcast right there as well. And while you're at it, Make a bet. It'll link you right to mybookie.ag. That's mybookie.ag. Let's bring in my co-host, Marshall, to see how he's doing. He's at the bottom of the map, straight down in Texas. And I'm actually on the top of the map, but even higher, even higher. And I don't mean on weed. I mean even higher. I didn't put anything in the air today. That's for later tonight. But I'm actually in Duluth, so I'm up real, real high up north. He's way down south. What's going on, Marshall? How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. Just Halloween, you know, being a 33-year-old coach that, you know, single. I'm just going to watch some NBA tonight, do a little schoolwork, you know, just kind of go on with my day. So, you know, the life of being a kid and running around to as many houses as you can and filling up a massive bag of candy and then kind of being in heaven. Those days are kind of over, but you know, that's all right. But to start off with,
hold on.
Quickly.
You heard it here first, ladies. You heard it here first, ladies. He's a single man and he's ready to mingle. Go on with what you're saying, sir.
Hey, yeah, man, teachers get paid good down in Texas, so the financial life ain't bad. It ain't great, but it ain't bad. You know,
nice.
The news, I was on Twitter, and I read an article that was talking about how a sport writer, I can't remember his exact name, but a sport writer wrote a nice article about how he thought that the Board of Regents in Maryland made a massive mistake for bringing back DJ Durkin to be back as a coach and then kind of just reviewed overall. And as I open up my laptop, which I use for our show, the first thing I see is DJ Durkin now immediately fired. So
right, I saw that too.
The Board of Regents review, and they're like, you know what, let's put him back on staff and then kind of have a let's see how it goes kind of theory. Well, the see how it goes kind of theory didn't work out too well. A student protest was pretty much set up immediately, and I'll try to make this very quick because this could be almost a show in itself with what's happened there in Ohio State. But for there, I'm completely in support of him going because you lost a young athlete, and from the details of it, there were about 20 things that were missed that should have led to that young man still being alive. The quick story on that is there was a Maryland summer workout program. The strength conditioning coordinator was going a little bit over the top with what he was expecting of his athletes. A bigger lineman basically suffered heat stroke from running full field sprints. And after he kind of hit the symptoms of where he's like, oh, my God, this guy needs to be put, like, in an ice bath or be helped out, those steps were just not followed. Speaking of being a coach in Texas, that's one of the things you touched on at the start of every year is how to handle procedures of athletes in different situations. And obviously in Texas, one is if a player gets heat stroke, what do? And step one is you try to cool them down. And Maryland, a college university in a Big Ten conference with tons of money, with the resources available for you, didn't do that. And the young man passed away. So was the head coach responsible exactly as the strength and conditioning coordinator, as an athletic trainer and all this? No. But in the world of college sports, where the head coach gets the fame, the praise, or the scrutiny, in this situation, he had to go. Now, maybe if he'd been there at that moment or whatever, he could have done a better job. But if you're the man on top of the Parkers, the guy making, nowadays a lot of coaches are making seven figures or very comfortable six, I support the decision. Again, it's not all on him, but just like Nick Saban isn't really doing every single thing in Alabama. Okay, he gets all the praise, but there's plenty of people who have helped Nick Saban along the way. So I'm happy they made the decision. With the kid dying, I thought that was the right choice. And since it's news that broke literally, I believe, 15, 20 minutes ago, I just want to start the show off with that. Obviously kind of sad news, but I think the right decision was made. And you saw an example of where the sport world kind of got realistic. Because sometimes with sports, people forget that we're people and the sport fandom takes over. So I think the decision was made in this situation, my friend.
Well, yeah, that was – I went through the same process of you. I was kind of messing with – it took us a while. We were supposed to do this about an hour ago, this show, but I was having some problems. And I don't know if the sound, when it's actually broadcasting live – if it'll actually be what it normally is. It is what it is. I am in a hotel. I can see the levels going up and down. It seems strong, then it doesn't. So I apologize for the listeners if it's not necessarily up to par or whatever. But we're not in a studio, and we're never in a studio, so I'm sure the audience doesn't matter that much. I mean, they matter. I said that wrong. So you can take a quote and just run with it. They matter a whole lot. They matter. They're number one. But as far as, I don't think they'll care. How's that? But, yeah, I saw that too. I was like, wait a second. And I thought, did I read the headline wrong or something when I heard that he got reinstated?
Sure.
I'm like, I must have heard that wrong or something. And then I went back and checked. I was like, nope. Okay, yeah, sure. Okay. And I agree. There is a lot of the purists of the sport or the old schoolers. I mean, you can't really be a purist in college football because, I mean, or college basketball for that matter, because, back in the day it was way more. I mean, there was people like Burt Reynolds went to Florida State. He was a stud actually there. And he said that there was guys like coming out of the Army and not even in school, like registered in classes, like accepted at the school that actually played on the football team. And we also know 70s, 80s, 90s, before they started really cracking down on it, that shit was way more crooked than it is today. So you can shove that, up your, well, I'm not even going to say it, okay? But purist, just quiet up for a second. Now, I understand the whole water thing. Well, back in my day, we didn't get water for 2 hours and all that. I get it. I bet you weren't practicing this hard, but you probably were out in the sun like spring practice or summer, training camp and all that. I get it, not getting water and all that. And I totally understand. But nowadays, you just can't do what you – could do before. And some of it you could say, well, maybe that it's not some of these guys aren't gonna be as tough, or that's just a pussification, which a lot of people use that word, of our country or of our world. But most of the times on this type of stuff, it's like, come on, dude, like let's move up like 50 years and just calm down, and to me, I agree with you. I think it is a decision for a variety of reasons was made. And, you know, there was – it's not all his – I'm glad that you said that too. It's not all his fault, but, you know, good or bad, you are going to take, you know, a big, big blame on it no matter what. So, but anyway.
Yeah.
Let's get into some of this because, like I said, we got a lot to cover and we want to try to keep it in, you know, a little over an hour type stuff. So, like I said, 11 total teams defeated in the top 25, at least the AP, bunch of new ranked teams. It definitely was a crazy, crazy week. Now, there was some games that went the exact way we thought. We're not going to really cover that. But, for instance, Texas, number 6 Texas, who looked like they were – really trending upwards. They got that big Oklahoma win probably almost a couple weeks back now. I don't even know. Was it a month ago? It was a while ago now. But, you know, the college football regular season goes so fast, but it seems like there's so much happens that you kind of forget. Was that 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago? But Texas went down, and actually I don't know – if I called this on the show, but in my article, this was, I had two upsets of the week, and this was one of them. It was basically like saying Texas, their fan base is going to be pissed because right when they think that they're all the way back at the top tier program, they end up, you know, getting beat. They got beat 38-35 in a very spirited game. We talked about Kentucky. They just barely miracle, like at the last play, won the game 15-14, and they were down. You know, I remember looking at that spread, Marshall, and we thought,
that was,
man,
my pick of the week.
Wasn't it 7.5 points or 7 points? It was like, really? Oh,
yep,
we got to jump on that. Like, mm-hmm. How could that be? But then with a couple minutes into the fourth quarter, I also had that Vegas is always right feeling. Like, man, you know what? They were right. Here we are calling them out. 7.5. What the hell are you thinking? And then all of a sudden I'm looking at the score and I'm like, wow, dude, they're down and it's not looking good. You know, Missouri had the ball in a lead. What was it, 14-3 or something like that? I thought, geez, man.
Yep.
What the hell? Like, and there's times, and don't get us wrong, Vegas is right most of the time, obviously. Otherwise they wouldn't be making – you know, they wouldn't have these lines that mess with you. You know what I mean? But
sure.
When it was 14-13, and then it was that for a while, thought, man, this might happen, dude. A punt return touchdown, an interception, and a touchdown on an 8-play drive. 8-play, 81 drive, and a 124. They got that done. Ended up winning that game. So they, you know, they keep their hopes alive, no doubt. They are actually in the driver's seat, and we'll get into a little bit deeper into some of these games. But Georgia looked very good against Florida. Big win for Georgia after, you know, having dropped the game to LSU and got smacked around as well. But a lot of upsets all of a sudden. Washington, who hasn't really looked great this year, they've looked pretty good. And very good at times, especially their defense. They got a nasty nose tackle. But they go down 12-10. One of those World Series games probably had more freaking scoring. And this, Mississippi State beat A&M 28-13. Penn State and Iowa were just back and forth, back and forth. They ended up getting the job done. Here's a shocker. Arizona, who's been trying to – well, they got their guy back, and he was healthy. And I'll tell you what, Tate, you could tell he was healthy. They've been missing him. Even when he was on the field earlier, we kept saying, why aren't you running more with them? But the injuries obviously were a problem. 44-15, Northwestern beats Wisconsin 31-17. University of South Florida finally lost. They got beat by Houston. That quarterback is just on a run. 57-36, and to close it out, NC State goes down on the road from Syracuse, 51-41. That was another one they were a 6-point or 5-point, 5 or 5.5-point underdog, Syracuse at home. That was my other upset of the week there. But what a wild week, man. Let's start to get into a couple of these matchups. And why not start with that Kentucky-Missouri, since we've been talking a bunch about Kentucky. And Missouri, you know, is a squad that you follow. What the hell, dude? That, like I said, I thought Vegas duped us. I was like, oh, they got us. They got us. And the next thing you know, it's like, no, we got you, Vegas.
Kentucky has a very good defense and a very good running back and a quarterback who is not great. He's not Nathan Peterman, though. He's not garbage, but he's just – Kentucky's not known for their passing. They run the ball. They don't let you explode on them, and they're an overall solid, good team. Shit, they're 7-1. But for that offense that had its issues, they really, really waited till it come, you know, to the end of the party. I mean, it was kind of a, oh, my God. They scored 3 points in the first quarter. Mizzou scored 14 in the second. And then Kentucky, they didn't score. They didn't get an offensive touchdown until the very end of the game. Their play was a punt return, ran back for a touchdown. So, and then they had a drive to go, and their quarterback, Terry Wilson, again, who is a developing quarterback, you could say, finally stepped it up. And they got that 2-minute offense going. I will say, Chris, for as much as I've watched football, I kind of saw this play happening kind of moments where Kentucky had the ball with about 10 seconds to go. They were on, I believe, about the Missouri 35-yard line. And obviously at that point, you probably have a chance for two plays to the end zone or move up a little bit and do one more play. And the move up a little bit plan worked out perfectly, and Missouri really kind of screwed themselves. They basically allowed Kentucky to get about a – the ball's probably on about the 30. So, but they basically gave Kentucky a free run. Kentucky throws out a pass in the flats, and the receiver has a guy blocking with him. They go from the 30 to the 10 in 6 seconds, and you made it now first and goal on the 10, and that pass is much easier. I'm not saying you got to have like an all-out safety blitz, because I know that would be stupid, but Missouri is probably looking back and like, dude, we probably shouldn't have given them a free 20 yards. I mean, guy catches ball, no Mizzou guy even within his sight. And he steps out of bounds. So I would say a poor decision. Again, I know you're not going to cramp up and play man press, because if you get smoked, you'd look like a joke. But to just give up 20 yards, Chris, and then the last play of the game, Kentucky throws the ball, but gets a PI. And then the last play of the game, Kentucky's tight end does a 5-yard out, pushes a smaller DB off him. It's a perfect route, perfect pass, ball game, game over. They win. Great effort by Kentucky. Again, a team that, you know, your offense had a low day and you stepped up to win. But, man, you can't do that, man. I just saw that happening. I was like, oh, crap. They're going to give up a free 20 yards. Boom, bang, you know, next thing game's over. But, you can't do that. That was a frustrating part from a Mizzou point of just, damn, you gave up too many damn yards and came to bite you in the foot.
Yeah, it was, if we were sitting in that Vegas freaking sports book together, we would have been like, oh, come on, baby. Come on, baby. Come on, baby.
Exactly.
You know, once they got that punt return, it'd be like, all right, just stay right here. We're fine. Just stay right here.
Yeah, exactly.
That would have been fun, man. That would have been a whole lot of fun. But I was at work looking up, and I just kept seeing that score. I'm like, I hate you, Vegas, with a passion. I hate you. Why are you doing this? We're sorry. We didn't mean to say those negative things about you, but sure enough, it did not come true. We got you, Vegas. Although you always win, we got you this time. Just kind of running through some other things. There was a stat that kind of, well, that Northwestern game. You know, so four Power Five teams have won 9 of their last 10 conference games, okay? So you got Alabama.
Yeah.
You got Clemson. You got Oklahoma. Wait a sec. Yeah, 9 out of their last. So, you know, makes sense. Clemson, yep. And then it's Northwestern. Northwestern. Pat Fitzgerald, and actually this –
good coach.
I saw this. Yeah, Pat Fitzgerald doing a hell of a job. And it really is like, huh, That's a crazy, you know, I guess I just didn't notice, especially the way they started, you know, this year. It was like, you know, they didn't really look the part that we know, a quality team, and to an extent last year as well, but here they are, you know, sitting pretty good. Like, I was pretty surprised, man. I was very surprised. As far as Texas going down, this is the second time this season they've allowed 35 or more points. Very unlike Charlie Strong's defenses. Of course, you know, I guess he's been gone for a year and a half now, so it's not his defense anymore. But we'll blame that. I'm sure the Texas fans are like, see, Charlie Strong's calling our defensive players, and he's making them be bad. You know what I mean? I'm sure there's some sort of conspiracy on that. But, yeah, that's the second time this year. So that was a big blow. You know, Texas, it looked like they were kind of – they had turned the corner. Of course, the last couple of years, we've seen them look like they were going to turn the corner, and then they just don't quite do it. You know, before it was offense was the issue a couple of years back. Then they, you know, the defense is looking, you know, to give that up to Oklahoma. Okay, Oklahoma State puts up a lot of points, so it's not like a disgrace or whatever. But, you know, they could stand to make a play or two. But Oklahoma State's been that back and forth, can't figure them out type club this year. It's not like the Texas, you know, quarterback, the young quarterback, it's not like he had a bad game because he had a pretty damn good game. But Oklahoma State, Cornelius, you know, he went for 321, three touchdowns, also ran the ball and had two touchdowns, so five overall. And they got the job done, man, 38-35. They ran the ball fairly well. Texas, no turnovers on either side. Texas had 11 penalties, but 34-25 basically was the time of possession. A lot of third downs for Oklahoma State, 10 of 20 and 2 of 2 on fourth down as well. So a well-played game and whatnot. Very tight, back and forth. But, you know, Oklahoma State, it looked like early, it kind of looked like it wasn't going to be a tight game. So I got to give, you know, credit for Texas to mount a pretty damn good comeback there. It almost looked like they were going to, you know, do the job. They got it to, I believe, 31-28 or something like that. Actually, they got it to 38-35 near the end as well with a 12 or a 13-play drive. But just wasn't enough. The damage was kind of done in that one early on with the defense just giving up big, big plays. But the Georgia-Florida game, that was one that we had eyes on last week, just kind of basically looking at like, okay, well, who's going to be, you know, not in the driver's seat because technically Kentucky was in the driver's seat, if you think about it, because they had already beat Florida. Yeah, they lost one game, but, you know, the other ones that, you know, they won. So they're in good shape. That obviously now that Georgia beat Florida, now it's the East. I'm right. The SEC East, it basically comes down, you know, to this game, no doubt about it. There was an early pick in that Florida game. They got kind of an early lead 10-0. Florida managed to be right there with them. It was 20-14. Then there was a fumble that led to a field goal, and they just couldn't quite keep up. And it was the quarterback from had a heck of a game. He really did. He actually had – I have this stat here. I took a bunch of pictures today, so I'm having problems finding my stat all of a sudden, but it's a really good stat on him. He had a great game, and I think it was like three. Yeah, here it is. So Fromm, who is just an okay quarterback, he's pretty good. Sometimes he makes plays, but the whole season, he had two touchdown passes on third down. He had three in this game. So that was really clutch. He played a hell of a game just overall. Georgia needed this win to stay in contention. It was either going to be Florida or Georgia, and obviously Florida had already dropped the game to Kentucky. So they bounced back after taking a pretty much a butt whooping. It very similar score if you look at that Georgia LSU in this Georgia Florida game, but they got the job done. Now they're in line to like I said, for pole position in a trip to the SEC championship game in Washington State. You picked this one too. Washington State keeps it going off that big win over Oregon. Oregon was hung over. They ended up getting their butt kicked. But big win here, 41-38. Stanford gets beat, man, and they're now 5-3. And that's one of those teams that we thought, I remember heading into that Notre Dame game, we thought, man, if they beat Notre Dame, they got a chance to run the table, a legit chance to run the table. They looked the part at that time. And that's why I love these rankings don't come out to the end of October, because even at the end of September, everybody was praising Notre Dame. Hey, Notre Dame's a score. Look at how many quality wins they have. But then time goes by, Stanford loses some more games. And not that they've lost to a bunch of crappy teams or nothing like that, and this was a close game. But a big back-to-back wins here by Washington State. And obviously, you know, the committee, definitely, we'll get into the committee rankings in just a second, but they loved it. And now that USC, that victory that USC had, 39-36 over Washington, is looking pretty damn good, man. But beating Utah after that, beating Oregon, beating Stanford, they have Colorado, Arizona, and Washington left. They're in a good spot, man. They're showing some life this season, no doubt about it, is Washington.
It's such a simplified yet difficult offense with Leach. Like, you almost never see them really throw a lot of deep passes. I mean, it's in the arsenal, but basically – he does such a great job of drawing up plays where, like, receivers just run crossing routes. So if you ever watch Washington State play, it's just like kind of like a video game play you would have called in Madden, where you're like, okay, these guys are going to crisscross, these guys are going to run posts, and someone's going to be open. And I mean, yeah, the guy was 40 of 50. Gardner Minshew, which is quite a weird name, 40 of 50 for 438, 3 TDs. But when you just run routes that basically are a mind bleep for a defense coordinator to stop, I mean, it just explains his success. Leach and Kingsbury are probably two of the best offensive play-calling passing minds in the country. I didn't even mention my boy Kiffin. I mean, those guys have done so long.
I was going to say, like, wow, that's blasphemy, dude.
I know. I got to give credit where, you know, Lane's behind him in time, so he can catch up to him. But, I mean, for now, Barry and Leach, they have such a mind where literally if a quarterback can make a throw, you're not going to stop them. Because they don't need big, big, physical, quick receivers. They just need guys that can get open. And if you run up crossing routes, eventually linebackers are going to be like, dude, I give up. So, and it's showing this year. The team is 7-1. They've had back-to-back great wins. They're contending for a Rose Bowl. I can't remember the last time Washington State, I don't think it's as far back as the Ryan Leaf days, but I wouldn't put it past myself to say maybe it is. I mean, this is a team that's going for a Pac-12 kind of Rose Bowl showing, and we haven't mentioned that in a long time. So you got your quarterback, you got your offense, you got a defense that is probably doing better than people expected, and a home field advantage where we found out kind of from watching games that they maybe have the second loudest stadium in the Pac-12, and it sits like 45,000 people. So just kind of that little niche place of home in Washington, fun coach, fun team, find ways to win close games, and hell, you got to give them credit. Kind of like Kentucky. I wouldn't say it's as surprising as Kentucky because Washington State only starts off the year hot, but they're normally not 7-1, Chris, contending for a Pac-12 title and saying that confidently.
And speaking of not a Pac, you know, 12, 13, 10 title. We're in the Big Ten, and Iowa was on pace to potentially, because Wisconsin had lost, and then now they lost again, but they had already had two losses in conference. They looked to be in pretty good shape, sitting at 6-1 heading into that Penn State game. Neither quarterback played good in this one. It was rough conditions. It was ugly. Don't get me wrong. I if you look at the numbers, it's like, oh boy. Now McSorley did enough, in key moments, key times to, if you're comparing quarterbacks, he made a couple less dumb throws. That's for sure. Because Stanley had a rough game. There was a moment there at the end where he threw a ball that seemed like it would be catchable, but the receivers hadn't quite swung their head around to catch it. But a lot of for a while, I spoke about baseball 10-8. It was a baseball score for a while. You had a safety. You had just a variety of random stuff happen in that Penn State-Iowa game. That's how it started, was a safety. Penn State got both safeties, right? Yeah, so it was 14-7, but you'd never guess it. You'd never guess that was the score. Iowa got the first safety, didn't they? Or did they get both of them? I can't remember, but it was just like, what the hell's going on? It was 14-7, but at 5-0, it sure didn't feel like it was going to be 14-7 and be a normal score. Penn State just kind of grinded their way back into it. And before you know it, they pulled ahead, and they never gave up that lead. There was moments where an interception touchdown got it to 27-24. Just back and forth. Like I said, ugly, competitive, fun game. Neither side could get a bunch of running done like they normally do. But it was very entertaining, and Iowa really had their shot there. Penn State is just kind of lining up for, the best bowl they can get, I believe, at this time. Now, you never know what happens, but the way Michigan's looking, they got, some games left, obviously. But that's what it looked like Penn State was playing for, and they still got the job done 30-24, like I mentioned. That Houston QB, 57-36, but King had 7 total touchdowns. Threw for 419 and 5 touchdowns in the air, ran for 2 and a 134. I mean, this guy, De'Eric King, man, holy cow. And Houston's really starting to turn it up now. And we've known the last handful of years that they've been a quality program and whatnot, definitely. But this year, they're looking impressive, man. They really are. There's some games coming up. Last night there was a pretty good game in the MAC that I watched chunks of in my hotel room. There was a couple other games that I wanted to get to. Iowa State beat Texas Tech 40-31. Michigan State and Purdue. Purdue coming off that big Ohio State victory. This was a tight one. 23-13, though, they did end up getting a little bit of comfort. To close it out, no doubt about it. Another good game, ASU and USC. Not a good game for my co-host per se, but 38-35. ASU, considering where they've been the last couple years, I'd say they're pretty happy where they're at, and they're pretty happy with Herm Edwards, a guy who hadn't coached in a long, long, long time. So that's pretty good. And my Minnesota Gophers got their first Big Ten win of the year after the Nebraska debacle, which I didn't even look at as a debacle because, like I said, that shit was going to happen. I saw that a mile away. I saw that in the summer. If you would have told me, hey, if Nebraska's 0-6 and the Gophers got to go into Nebraska, do you think they'll win? I'd say, nope, I don't think so. Take it to the window. But anyway, they got the first big win. And they're you can see some strides offensively. That's very impressive. They played fairly good defense for a chunk of it. It was against Indiana, who's mostly offensive, side heavy, that's for sure. But they looked great for a while, and then there was a fumble, then there was an interception, and next thing you know, it's a tight-ass game. They ended up winning it with like a buck 20 left on a bomb, a 67-yard bomb. True freshman caught it, Bateman, to get the job done, 38-31. Just a little bit more on that quarterback from Houston, that King. He now has accumulated 39 touchdowns through 9 games, whether it's through the air or on the ground. So that's pretty damn impressive. And by the way, here's a couple other. Here's a youngster, Trevor Lawrence from Clemson, threw 4 touchdowns. And Florida State just got stomped, and I'm happy about it. 59-10. The Hurricanes got beat as well, by the way. But that was their worst home game, the Seminoles, in a long, long, long – no, that was their worst. That was their worst in school history, 59-10. I remember Clemson a couple years back did that to the Canes too, and that got somebody fired. But, of course, that was, you know, in their fourth year, whatever. And Kyle Murray – from Oklahoma State, or Oklahoma, excuse me, went 9-24, 352, 4 touchdowns as the Sooners sail past Kansas State, 51-14. 7 consecutive games for him, accounting for 3 touchdowns or more. So he's still getting the job done. As Oklahoma kind of just, you know, lays back in the cut, and they were waiting for somebody like Texas, because that's the team who beat them, to lose. And that, it's a good chance that that might be that rematch, you know, in the it sounds weird to say this, but in the Big 12 championship game. God, that sounds weird to say. Are there any other games? But, yeah, the Canes, I sound like a broken record. It's offense. The offense, it's just like, dude, when you're in the red zone, do something. Don't turn the ball over. They just can't. The last couple of weeks, their offense have just stumbled mightily. And the games have been winnable. The games have been winnable. Not that the defense has just been playing completely lights out. Don't get me wrong. But when you're hampered by just a mistake, interception, turnover, heavy offense, it just makes it – it makes it difficult, that's for sure. Any other games you want to get to? We have 20 minutes left of the live stream. If you want to call in, 646-381-4990 is the number, 646-381-4990. We'll be going for probably another, give or take, 30, 35, 40 minutes or something like that. Any other takes you want to talk about? Any takeaways, I meant to say, from week 9. And we are going to get to the crafty pick that I'm still freaking pissed about, Marshall, because you made me pick 2.
Oh, and the matchups they were, my oh my. Few little nuggets, I guess. Purdue-Sparty was a hell of a game. Very close, rugged, low-scoring, typical old-school Big Ten football. Sparty kind of wrapped it up with a big touchdown run that was kind of wrapped up in the late end of the fourth quarter. So Sparty knocks off Purdue's little party after being Ohio State. They won 23-13. And I almost never say this, but it's worth mentioning because, well, it happened. Kansas beat TCU. Kansas won 27-26. They take down the Horned Frogs. And I know TCU's offense is pretty miserable. I've watched them play. It's scary. But anytime the Jayhawks win a football game in Big 12 conference, I think that's worth celebrating.
They have like 3 out of their last 36 or something like that. Some kind of weird stat I saw. It's like, what the hell?
Yeah, it's kind of similar to the Hugh Jackson record of the Browns.
Right.
And they're actually having a good year, and they fired the poor guy. But, yeah, so Kansas beat TCU. Obviously, that is a massive gut punch. Man, TCU, you know.
27-26, too, dude. 38-game October losing streak. They've lost 38 games in a row in October. And that's usually when the schedule gets harder, right? Oh, my God, I didn't know that. Jesus.
And Gary Patterson really doesn't have bad years. You know, this is a TCU team that if you are a betting man, you're going to say, oh, they're good for 8-9 wins a year, normally. But you lose to –
First couple weeks they look good.
They did. So, you know, yeah. But, for another fun note, our adopted team, if we ever do a podcast in studio, we will hang up a Raging Cajun flag. Our Raging Cajuns are getting closer to bowling. The Raging Cajuns, Arkansas State, they won 47-43. So now 4-4 on the year, 2-2 in the Sun Belt Conference. We defend our home turf again. You know, some of the best food you'll ever have at a college football game. Incredible tailgate at the Raging Cajun Stadium. The boys win 47-43. Our offense is clicking. Besides our game against Bama, who, you know, it's Bama, we've been playing some pretty good football this year. So props to our Raging Cajuns. I hope they get to a bowl game because, I don't know, about 3 years ago we said this is our team to adopt. And, you know, they normally get about 4 or 5 wins a year. We're looking for 6 so we can do a Raging Cajun bowl game preview. That'd be a fun one to do. So props to our boys for their win.
Wouldn't that be something?
Oh, that'd be sweet.
That would be something.
Washington lost to Cal, as you mentioned. Browning got benched. When I was looking at the stats from the game, Browning got pulled out of the game. This reminds me of, like, the Jerry McNamara kind of rule in my head of a guy that, as a sophomore at Syracuse College Basketball, was a great player, and he got worse his junior, in my mind, worse his senior year. Same deal with Jake Browning here. 2 years ago, people were in love with this kid. Last year he regressed. This year he got benched. This was a kid I remember you and I talking about after the end of 2 seasons ago. We're saying top 10 pick, like elite quarterback, one of the best. Now, not saying the best in the country, he wasn't maybe over like, you know, Darnold or some of those people, but he was getting legit praise. He got benched again against Cal. This is a Washington team where, if you would have watched the game against Auburn, that was a close football game and a 50-50 coin flip. So people, I remember after we did our week one review, we're like, dude, Washington might be a Final Four contender. We know we lost to Auburn, but that ain't a bad loss. Now, clearly, Auburn's kind of got downhill as well. But I would not have expected Brown to get benched. But, man, his stock keeps dropping. And he's probably wishing he would have gone pro after last year because it keeps going in the wrong direction, my friend. And that kind of wraps up my tidbits and nuggets of our most current week of college football.
Well, you know, as far as the crafty pick of the week, now, if you follow the show, you were pissed too last week. I know you were on my side. You had to been at home going, what the fuck, Marshall? You're making him pick 2 of these things? What the hell? But then you were probably like me as well on Saturday, seeing UConn up 17-9, thinking, hey, dude, this might happen. Because remember, I picked 2 home teams. Why? I still don't know why. But unfortunately, Marcus Camby got a big rebound putback dunk to finish the game off. They won 22-17. It was a 5-point dunk for some reason. I don't know how. There was technicals involved. I think he took off from the 3-point line. Maybe it was Klay Thompson. There was a 3 because he hit so many, he spread them around. I don't know. But fortunately for me, it won't count because that was some bullshit. However, I do have some positivity to talk about with the home club. And it's funny because I'm literally paging through. I'm literally paging through this thing here. My other squad, the other squad that, what was it? Texas Tech, right?
Texas State.
The Bobcats. Yep. The Bobcats got the job done. My guy Jones helped me out. He sparked them past the New Mexico State, favored New Mexico State. The home team came alive and, big win. A big Sun Belt Conference battle last Saturday night. My guy Jones, you know, he did it all. He threw 2 touchdowns. He ran a touchdown, ran for 110. He's a good guy, that Jones. I like him. it doesn't count as a loss on my record, obviously. We went over that last week. That was on some bullshit. So, yeah, I'm a happy guy. I'm a happy camper. But we will get to that pick. If you don't know what the hell we're talking about.
Week.
Right, thanks. So thanks for nothing. No, so if you're wondering what the hell we're talking about, it's a crafty pick, okay? And you're going to hear it in just a little bit. Before we get to all these crazy games, man, especially in the on both sides of the SEC, whether it's the East or West, it is on and popping. Bama, LSU, Georgia, Kentucky. I'll say it again. Georgia, Kentucky, and it's October still. It has nothing to do with basketball, okay? Can Penn State play the spoiler for a Michigan team that looks like they are headed to the promised land? We'll see. We will see. But let's talk these rankings, okay? Now, obviously, the college football rankings came out for Week 10. Not a whole lot of craziness ensued. Iowa State at 4-3 did sneak in. Wait a second. Is that true? Am I looking at this right? Yeah, they're ranked 24th. And a lot of that has to do with strength of schedule and some of those victories. So I guess you could say some people will scratch their head at that. Other people go, well, dude, they played a lot of good teams this year, and that is true. Virginia, who is definitely peaking at this moment, their quarterback is very solid. They play really sound football. They're 6-2, kind of rounding out there. Fresno, 7-1. I wonder who they got beat by. Oh, that's right. It was the Minnesota Gophers and my guy Winfield Jr. that made the play to shut down the game on the last play of the game, basically. That's their only loss. It was to the Gophers. God bless you. BC checking in. Solid win over Miami, unfortunately. NC State now. I don't know. I don't know. At 5-2, should they be ranked? I don't believe so. Let me see who they beat again.
They don't have a great win.
Oh, Boston College and Virginia. I take it back. Those are probably why they got in there.
That's decent.
And if you're looking at it, it's 22 and 25 right now. I forgot that they faced them both. I was going to say just BC, but I think it's just because, you know, we saw them just get, you know, ran over by Clemson, which that happens. But then they followed up with getting beat as well, and they got beat by Syracuse, who's 19, A&M. At 20, Texas all the way to 17. Iowa drops as well down to 16, but they got a quality, you know, they got a quality resume as far as wins, lose, or draws. Central Florida checking in at number 12 as an unbeaten team. The highest ranked two-loss team is Florida, probably due to their schedule. Ohio State checking in at 10 because of that bad loss. Kentucky at 7-1. Washington State all the way up to 8, Oklahoma 7, Georgia 6, 5 is Michigan. This is where maybe the controversy is. Undefeated 8-0 Notre Dame, who through the first, five or six games, they had beaten three ranked teams, but those teams are not ranked anymore. So that is a problem. There ain't no LSU sneaks ahead of them at 7-1, Clemson, Bama, to close it out. Where do you stand on that? And you know, obviously neither of us like Notre Dame. Let's try to put that to the side. And then, you know, LSU, you know, with this coach that you like a whole lot, going back to the SEC, USC days, when he was, you know, an assistant coach and then took over. Was it two separate times he's taken over as the head coach when the coach got fired? I think it is, right? And he's done well with it.
Yeah, he was an intern at Old Miss, an intern at USC.
So, so you look at Notre Dame, obviously big win at Michigan, right? Huge win, they were home, but Michigan. Then they had some tight games. Back-to-back, Ball State, 24-16, or Louisville. But then Vanderbilt, that's a pretty good club, actually, at home. Man, they started at home three straight games, 22-17. And then they hit their stride. On the road, Wake Forest, which is a decent club once in a while. or once again, 56-27, 38-17. They put the pedal to the metal on them. Then Virginia Tech was ranked at that time as well, 45-23, beat Pitt in a close game, beat up Navy. They have Northwestern, they have Florida State, they have Syracuse, and they end with the rivalry game against SC. So, you know, compared to LSU, you know, with what doesn't look like as good a win now because Miami's, you know, 5-3, but still, you know, not bad. Same with Auburn at the time. Auburn, you know, but they were both top five or top 10, that's for sure. They did lose to Florida, 27-19, but Florida's a good club. Beat up Georgia and then contained and slowly dismantled Mississippi State 19-3. Is it just a matter of, hey, your loss is quality to Florida, but you also have some really good wins, and you just don't really have too many bad teams that you played? And we've seen that in the past. Remember Auburn. Auburn was a highly ranked two-loss team last year, and had they ran through that, we were talking about how they might be able to, you know, get in there with two losses. Do you have a big problem with this, having LSU a little bit above Notre Dame at the third spot? And even if we do have a problem, it's probably going to get solved this week because they got to play. LSU's got to play Bama.
Yeah, I got no problem at all. I mean, LSU's played so many tougher teams. What is Clemson's good? I would be comparing Clemson and Notre Dame closer. Clemson's best wins are, well, they played at A&M. And after that, you beat NC State. That's it. You killed Florida State. Good for you. You killed Wake Forest. Good for you. You beat Syracuse on basically a third-string quarterback in the span of that week. You beat George Tech and George Southern and Furman. I would say Clemson and Clemson and Notre Dame are more comparable than LSU. I mean, I know LSU's got lost, but their schedule's been much tougher. So I got no issue with that. And again, I think throughout this year we're seriously going to be arguing over who wants the silver medal. I mean, unless Tua gets hurt, making the Final Four obviously is something fun and it's an accomplishment. But that team is just such a level above. It literally should be Bama, and then it's okay. Who's going to be contending to be the four seed that plays Bama first round? Now, again, injuries could happen, but if they don't, I mean, you're going to be walking into just a woodshed. And I guess the reason I say that, and I'll be done with this, because I was talking to my dad, and he's like, tell me about Bama. And I was like, well, seriously, Dad, if Saban was a guy like Meyer who maybe ran up the score and enjoyed doing that, Bama could be averaging probably 65 to 70 points a game this year if they wanted to. And that's not a sentence you ever really say in college football. Teams aren't that good. But they're scoring 28 points on the drop of a hat in the first quarter effortlessly. And they're taking Tua out for the second half, and then just kind of – Saban just isn't that kind of guy. But if you want – they could be legit scoring 65 points a game. And no offense that I can recall has had that capability. So it'll be fun to do these shows. I know ESPN has to, but – dude, let's just give a silver medal out this year, because no one can truly compete with them if Tua and the boys stay healthy. That they are such a pedestal above everyone else in society in college, Chris. It's almost scary to think what kind of numbers they could put up if Saban wanted to. And that's kind of my end of that part, but it's nasty how damn good that team is.
Yeah, and you know, obviously, when we say he's not that type of guy, well, he was a couple of years ago when he had a guy that liked to sling it around more at the offensive coordinator. But and not just that, they run the ball a lot too, so it's, you know, so there is something to that. I think he's that type of guy. I'm not going to say, well, he's a nice guy, this Saban. He's a dick. Saban's a dick. He's just really good at it. But anyway, and that's not hacking him. That's not hacking him at all. But if we're going to play – now, is it just because they're dominating people? Because if we're going to play devil's advocate, which is what we're doing here on this show, now, couldn't you look – you just got done saying, well, who have they beaten? Who has Clemson beaten? who has, you know, okay, well, who have they beaten? They played Louisville. They're garbage. Arkansas State. Christ, what's-its-toes just beat Arkansas State. Our guys, they just beat Arkansas State. Now, the win, the solid win was A&M. At home, A&M. A&M was around in that game, and then they kicked them around and ended up handling 40, you know, 23. Then they, I can't even see the team they beat. Oh, it was the Rage, those bastards. It was the Raging Cajuns. We know Arkansas ain't shit this year. Missouri, no offense, they're not shit this year. Who exactly have they played to say they're for sure number one? Or is it, you know, they look the part because, like you said, they're destroying people. Because you gotta say that too. We gotta put that in there too, that they haven't played anybody. They just have looked the best.
You're completely right. Their schedule is just as comparable, or maybe even lesser than Notre Dame and Clemson. I'd say Clemson's pretty close because they got a common opponent with A&M, and then you're kind of picking straws. But the way they have dismantled those teams that they have faced, yes, is just I mean, those scores could look a lot uglier. So, yeah, fair point. Their schedule hasn't been as gap, but when you're scoring 28 points in a first quarter effortlessly, that is something you're like, oh, my God, like, what is going on there? And I know people were probably a little bit nervous when Tua slid down in that game against Missouri. He just kind of did a quarterback knee slide to avoid getting hit. He went under the little blue tent thing, which I love how it's become a big thing now in pro and college football.
Yeah.
You get hurt, you go under the blue
what
tent.
What are they doing in that thing? What are they doing?
You know, dude, whoever,
they're giving him steroids in the tent.
It was probably some damn millennial kid, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to invent some kind of, like, tent thing where football players can choke. Because you just it's like a fold-up automatic tent. I don't know who came up with it. But whoever did is probably raking in the money because, you know, every college football team and pro team now in the world has one. But, yeah, just,
it's
yeah, they just look so
spot.
Dominant.
It started as a safe spot on the campus. And then it went from there. By the way, Tua, he's 25 touchdowns, hasn't thrown an interception just yet. Now, that's Jesus. Not to say, and, you know, before people, you know, say, well, number one, they should easily be number one. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. Definitely. They have, I would say they can't help who they, you know, what team's in front of them, but they actually can. They can actually schedule a harder non-conference, but, you know, that's years in advance. And, you know, when that Louisville game got scheduled, I bet you they actually were a pretty damn good club. I mean, obviously they had Jackson there too. But, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that they shouldn't be one, but it is something to think about. And we can't, you know, we're in October still. We're just getting into November football, so we've seen plenty of teams look the part. It just happens to be Bama, too. You know what I mean? Speaking of, and why don't we get right into Week 10. We're going to preview it. We're going to go over some betting lines. We're going to talk predictions against the spread, take it to the window, under the radar stuff. But the marquee matchup, and really the biggest matchups are in the SEC this week on both sides of the conference, and really, in both divisions, you can basically say that this is it. This whoever wins these two games are going to be in the SEC championship game. I think that's fairly safe to say. Now, who knows? Who knows? I'm not trying to count it up just yet, but that's the way it looks. So, you know, we got a night game on CBS. Usually, as far as Central Time, it's that 2:30 slot. But for the SEC on CBS, they got that contract. But they do this almost every year, especially when it's, you know, the year where LSU's actually looking pretty damn good right now, too. They're obviously up to 3-1 against 3. Guy, you look at the spreads. It's funny because the spread is actually now at 14.5, right? It was at 14, and you had to go all the way back to at home. You had to go all the way back to 1999 to find the Tigers being that big of an underdog. I think that was when it was at 14. They were a 15-point underdog to a Steve Spurrier-led Florida team, October 9th. back in the day. Then again, now, because it's changed up to, you have to go back, it's changed up to 14.5 at this point. It changed a little while ago. But now you got to go back even further to find them. This is 1997. Once again, even a better Florida team back then. They were a 16.5 point underdog to Florida October 11th, 1997. You know, the way this game is supposed to go is it's not going to be that high scoring at 54 points. And Alabama's just going to come in there, toy with them, get on the bus, and leave. Now, is it that simple? You know, because let's not forget, okay, and I'm literally eating a piece of grass right now, a grass clipping while I'm saying this, kind of chewing away like Les Miles. We do know that Tiger Stadium at night is the place where dreams go to die. We do know that, right? And Alabama has a dream right now to be undefeated, run the table, and win it all. That's what everybody thinks is going to happen. Are they just going to come on in there, smack them around, treat them like their little brother, and just be done and walk away, get on the bus, and take off? Or is this going to be a barn burner? Is this going to come down? Are they finally going to get tested this year in this game? What do you say, buddy?
All you got to know is in the toughest stadium in the country in all of college football to play in, and the number three ranked team in the country is a 14-point dog. I don't know how more clear Vegas can make that. And again, the numbers we've discussed with Bama are two first half numbers. I don't think he's played in the fourth quarter all year. I could be wrong, but I'm almost certain he hasn't played many second halves. So I just don't see how a team, and LSU has one of the best defenses in the country, but how a team can contain that offense for four quarters. They've scored a touchdown in every opening drive of their season this year. And a lot of times, 2 to 3 plays in the game, I like LSU. I guess I like both these teams. They're fun football to watch, but I just think that offense is going to be too much. Now, LSU's MO is they have a great defense. They're well coached. They don't have many turnovers, and their offense normally does enough. Joe Burrow, I like the guy. He's gritty. He doesn't quit. His numbers aren't pretty, but he finds ways to win. You need more than that against this Bama team. Okay, maybe the first quarter, second quarter is tight, but can LSU score 40? I doubt it. That's not really their capability. I just think the numbers are too strong, Chris, and I just don't see how LSU keeps up with Bama. I mean, if we see Tua play full four quarters, Bama could easily score about, put up 40 to 50 points, and LSU can't match that. So I'm going towards Bama. I would stay a little bit away from the 14 because that is a lot. But, man, again, I guess in my opinion, if Bama's going to score 42 to 45, is LSU going to match that? Probably not. So I'm with it. Roll Tide. I hope LSU wins. That'd be an awesome story. That would make for an incredible recap show of this offense can stop, but I just don't see it happening in a couple of days, my friend.
All right, and it's now up to 15. Just changed right now as we're reading it. So I'm going to go out on a limb here and not pick an upset. But I am going to say they're going to cover. That's going on. Like you said, the way you explained Alabama first half, that actually is going out on a limb. You got to give me credit there. Here's the crazy thing. So you think, oh, you know, Bama's over 200 yards rushing. That's a normal thing. Yeah, they're also averaging 347 a game through the air. Alabama is averaging 347 through the air, 564 total. Wow, that is scary. Tiger Stadium, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, capacity over 100,000, 102,321, and it'll probably be like 360. You know, someone will be on a tree, someone will be looking from a, you know, they're going to get in that mother effort. But, yeah, we're on the same page. I think Bama does it, but I think it's a tighter game, and not just 15 points either. I'm going out on a limb. They're going to lose LSU by single digits. That's what I'm going to say. That is kind of going out on a limb. On the other side, Kentucky and Georgia. What says you about this one, man? This is pivotal in the SEC East, no doubt about it. Winner gets a trip, basically, you know, gets a trip to the SEC Championship game.
I mean, Georgia got smacked in the mouth by LSU. They bounced back versus Florida. And I just think there's too much talent with this Georgia team. I love the Kentucky team. They're a good story. They play great defense. But they're a run-the-ball kind of team, and their defense kind of just do the job good enough for us. I don't know if their defense can sustain a game that long against a team that simply is more talented. I mean, Georgia LSU, Georgia Bama, you're kind of talking about the same kind of kids. This Kentucky team, hell of a way. I mean, they're ranked number 9. That says all you got to know. But in their wins, they beat Mizzou 15-14, beat Vandy 14-7, only scored 14 points on A&M. You know, beat Mississippi State 28-7 at home, but these numbers are too low. And as good as the Kentucky D is, I see Georgia at least scoring probably 20-plus points. I'm not sure if this Kentucky defense can put up – or I'm not sure if this Kentucky offense can score over 20, 24 points in a game. I just think the run kind of stops. And unfortunately, Kentucky will lose out their chance. If they win, they're in the SEC title game, and that'd be sick. I just don't see it happen. I think there's too much skill differential, and Kentucky's offense will be trying too hard to put points on the board.
I agree. I mean, Wilson just, you know, to be able to run and pass is not an easy thing, and he's done it from time to time, but I think that they focus on the run too much, like you said. Crazy thing is, according to ESPN's Football Power Index, you didn't think I'd go a show without saying this, they actually...
Yeah, you could. It won't hurt.
And Kentucky and LSU are both at home. The predictor actually has 81% straight up, too. No decimals, nothing. Just 81-19, which is higher than the Bama LSU game. Huh.
Cool.
Maybe, just maybe... that's going to be the difference, but not in this game. My single digits is going to pan out in that game. But I agree, man. I think Kentucky's going to lose a tight game at home. And when I say tight, they may get beat by double digits, but it'll be late. It'll be from forcing the ball or something like that, potentially. All right, let's keep it moving, man, because we want to wrap this puppy up. We got two games. We'll split them, one in the Big Ten, one in the Big 12. West Virginia at Texas. West Virginia only lost one so far. They're sitting at 6-1. They're going on the road to play the Longhorns. Is Texas going to be hung over and still kind of kicking rocks about their loss to Oklahoma State last week? Or are they going to come with a vengeance? And then also, can Penn State just put a dagger into the Wolverine season and hurt them right now after being this – you know, getting all the way to 5, which Michigan is 10.5 at home with Penn State. Let's take a look at those two games as we move through Week 10.
West Virginia just never does enough. They don't play full, consistent football on the road. I mean, they've shown glimpses, but, I mean, Iowa State murdered them. On the road against Texas Tech, they almost blew a 35-7 lead against a backup quarterback. And now they're going to Texas, who's still playing to fight for the Big 12 title spot. So they're going to get a rematch against Oklahoma in my backyard. I can't take West Virginia. And my other thing that I wish I would have bet this for the past 4 years, because I'd be having a nice little chunk of cash, is when West Virginia plays a team that is better than them, they almost never, ever, ever win. So I don't think that Dana Holgerson's that great of a coach. Because I just every time they talk about a big game, they almost never win. Now, is that all on him? No. But does a coach deserve some blame when his team can never beat a team above him? Yes. Now, they're ranked 13th and Texas is 17th, but I would say Texas is just as good or maybe slightly even. But I'm taking Texas I can't bet West Virginia win on the road, and I'll never take their coach in a game where they're evenly matched or an underdog from a coaching standpoint or player skill.
And then what about the Michigan-Penn State? Is Penn State going to – that's all right.
This would be such a blow for Harbaugh. I hope Michigan wins, man. They're getting closer and closer to getting that Big Ten title game for him. And obviously, he'll be playing Ohio State. You're coming up because that's always the end of the year, Michigan-Ohio State. I think Penn State, man, I think they just need a breath. That team has played so many hard games in a row. I think that's in favor for Michigan. Dude, and I'm not a huge fan. Their coach drives me nuts. But, I mean, in fairness, they've been through a gauntlet. They've played Ohio State, tough loss at home. Sparty, tough loss at home. Indiana, beat them by 5 on the road. You just go through a tough game against Iowa. This is your fifth hard game in a row on the road against a team that is just as good as you or better. It's kind of like that Stanford effect. Like, how many hard games can a team play in a row? Same with Oregon. I mean, it's just, I don't know. You're asking kids who are young in college to play another tough game. I just think that's my main reason to go against them. And McSorley, he's going to really have his hands full, Chris. He's been having his hands full almost every game this year because they truly have not found a way to completely replace Saquon Barkley, which is fair. I know I say it every week, but it's true. So now you have a quarterback who's been trying to do all he can this year, passing and running, going against Michigan's defense, who normally is not like quarterbacks run on them that effectively or pass the ball that much. So with all the schedule, the momentum Michigan has on the road, I'm taking Michigan. I just think there's too many hurdles for Penn State to overhop. And if they have a letdown game and they lose by more than a touchdown, you can't really even blame them that much from a betting perspective.
That's a good call. The letdown, it does seem like it's there. The red-hot Wolverines, man, and they're peaking at the right time. After dropping a close battle early to Notre Dame, they've been peaking, man. And you're right. The Nittany Lions have been a little wishy-washy of late, but it has been tough. You know, it has been a tough run. Michigan's defense is just suffocating. And finally, the offense is starting to pull its own weight. You know, of course, McSorley, he's a gamer. He's a real dual threat on each, you know, snap. But I like Michigan to pull it off as well. The other game, the Texas West Virginia, you know, the fact that they just – I don't see them losing back-to-back. I don't see Texas losing back-to-back. I just don't. I don't – not at home. What is the over-under on that one? 58. I'm going over. I'm going to go over because Texas, you know, the one thing is they played a lot of late anyway, they played some tight games. Played K-State 19-14, won 48-45, lost 38-35, barely beat 23-17, let Baylor come in. They barely beat Baylor. That was a little weird to say. But, you know, they had a chance to win it on the last play. I'll say over, and what is the spread, too? Okay, so that's where I'm at. Yeah, I think it'll be like 6 minutes left, 8 minutes left, Texas will score, and that will be enough. The defense will maybe finally step up and make some plays when they need them. So I'm going with Texas as well. I can't pick them back-to-back. Oklahoma's on the road against a high-powered offense in Texas Tech. 13.5 points, that is one you may want to take a little bit of a gander out on potentially. You may want to look at that Northwestern. Can they do something? They're not a 9.5 underdog at home. They've been playing really good. They're well coached, as we know. Notre Dame coming into town, number 4th ranked Notre Dame. A good matchup in the ACC, Virginia Tech against BC. That might come down to the wire as well. Purdue and Iowa, sure, it's not a great game, but I bet you it'll turn out. You know, this is one more of the hardcore variety. Auburn now, it's down now. It was 5.5 the other day. They're actually still favored at home by 4 points over the visiting team, A&M, who's ranked 20. That's one where you look and you go, I wonder. Here's a perfect example about Louisville. Clemson. Clemson's a 40-point. I'm saying that Louisville can lose by less than 40. I'm going to look at that one and say, huh, can they say, won't they, are they afraid of Lawrence getting hurt? Will they maybe shelf him early in the game when they got it? What's their next game, Clemson? Let me look really quick, because maybe if they got a big game, they'll shelf them. You know, it's their biggest game on their schedule anyway, at Boston, Boston College, and they play pretty good at Boston College, or Boston College generally does. Here's the deal, though. That predictor, that according to ESPN's Football Power Index, 99.2. They're given less than 1% for Louisville. So that kind of makes me think that they can actually lose by 40, no doubt. Can they sneak under? You may want to just take a look at that one and kind of rethink it. Maybe they're going to sit somebody that's a little banged up. And then number 15, Utah versus Arizona State. Utes have won 4 in a row after starting 2-2. But the Sun Devils are scrappy, man. So this fits right under that hardcore barn burner. Duke also will push Miami enough potentially to cover as a 9.5-point underdog. And what is another one? Oh, Louisiana Tech is a 22-point underdog to number 18 Mississippi State. That could be. But I'm looking at that, I say, huh, maybe, maybe. Do you have any, like, easy money, take it to the window type stuff, man? Because we got – what's your take it to the windows this week?
I would take Texas. Again, I'll never bet West Virginia with that head coach in a tough game. And I also – why Florida's only minus 5.5 against Missouri. I like Mizzou, team I cheer for. I hope they do good. But – and I know Florida just got beat by Georgia, but still –
is it in Florida? Is it in Missouri?
No, it's in Florida. But
in Florida? Wow. Huh. That's weird.
It won 6, down to 5.5. I don't see Mizzou's offense. When they play against top echelon teams, their offense struggles. You will see them hang up 50 or 60 on tougher, on like a lower end opponents, but I don't see Missouri's offense doing much. And you say Florida had a tough game against Georgia. Missouri lost a game on the last play of the game. So, I mean, they probably didn't have the best week of practice they've had all year. So I love Florida. And so I would tease them with Texas or just bet Florida straight up. That Mizzou, I don't know what to expect. And it can kind of be a gut punch to lose the way they did now that you're 0-4. And Florida, I mean, they're still playing pretty damn good football. So, yeah, I would take Florida, and I would take Texas. Those would be my two take-it-to-the-window picks of the week. And, again, that Bama LSU line, if you're kind of doing the gambling, you're like, oh, my God, Bama's getting a 14, 15-point spread.
Right.
Vegas is saying, dude, if you want to touch that game, good luck. But if Bama rolls, you know, we're gonna be taking your money and laughing at you. So, I would be very cautious of touching that game. I stay the hell away, in my opinion. I wouldn't go near that one, Chris.
I'm over here talking about single digits, so I'm off my rocker. Let's finish this one out so we can sneak under the 90-minute mark, sir.
All right. Well, I promise I won't give you two. Now, there are two, but I'm only giving you one. But you need to pick door A or door B.
Oh, God, what the hell is he? What's he done to this segment, people? Now, I promise you I wouldn't give you two. We don't get to ever. Now you're I told you I'd do it. No, dude, no. I'm getting one, period.
No, I know.
No, no. This is messing up. This messes up the flow, dude. Pick A or pick B. No, you pick A or pick B. You can't mess with the karma, dude.
All right, all right.
It's not a pick A or pick B. It's a give me the damn thing. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be a dick.
All right.
This is a tough one. You can't mess with the chemistry, dude.
All right. The game I'm not giving you is 1-7 UConn against 1-7 Tulsa.
This
not
guy.
Giving you that one.
Oh, thanks. You might have said, now that I know the game. Oh, man.
The one that Steve got better records.
This is a tough enough segment. He wants to make it tougher out there, guys. He wants to make this even tougher. Tell me the game now. Let's not talk about a game I'm not going to pick.
0-8 UTEP. It's traveling. And these are repeat offenders. I always love when we do our crafty pick of the week, but we've already used the team. 0-8 UTEP going to 1-8 Rice.
These are both, you're right. I can't even find the game, for Christ's sakes. Hold on.
It's at 2:30 Central on ESPN.
Oh, there
you can stream it. Rice is -1.5, over under 45.5. Again, we've used Rice already this year. So, UTEP
sure
is 0-8.
UTEP, too. I'm almost positive we used UTEP, too.
These are double repeat offenders. What again? And I know it's only one game, but man, when you see a 1-7, 1-7, 1-8 from 0-8, it's like holy shit. What do you pick? Break this one down, my friend. Again, it's from Houston, because this is the game I was gonna go to when there's the baseball playoff games. I was like Astros game or Rice game. Rice is back on the table again. So Rice game or Houston Rockets. What do you got in this burner of a matchup?
Oh, my God. Can I get the other one? Jesus Christ.
I
so
tried
Rice
to give you two doors.
Rice? No, you screwed me, dude. You screwed me. Hey, super difficult pick. You want to make it harder? Let's go for it. Actually, it's making it less harder because I get options, but I don't know the options. So if you would have get, maybe if you give me the option and I pick one, but if I don't know the option, then you're not. It's not really increasing my chances. You know what I mean?
Fair.
Rice has given up 39 at home, but they do almost score 19 points a game, which is 4 points more than UTEP. UTEP's pretty much
they average 15 a game.
Yeah, 15.4, baby. But they play. I mean, throw last week out when they got beat 19-0. But other than that, they're losing 31-24, 27-24, 30-21. 27-21 or 27-20, and actually that was the game right there. New Mexico State. I picked New Mexico State on the road. That's
yep,
what it was.
Yep, you did.
20-20. There was a miracle ending again. And another thing about the crafty pick this year, all hell breaks loose in these games. Like all hell breaks loose in these games, dude. Like anything and everything will happen. It's crazy. So why is Rice favored in this game, dude? I don't understand this. Oh, because they got a win. Yeah, and they got a win. I suppose UTEP doesn't have a win yet. So that's why. Okay. Okay. So, man, Jesus Christ. Oh, boy. Okay, Rice. Who the hell did you beat, Rice? They beat a team. The Prairie View Panthers they beat. Who in the hell is a Prairie View Panther?
That's a small Texas college.
God. Oh, Prairie View. That sounds like a small, like just a small town in the middle of nowhere. They wouldn't have a college. What the hell's going on?
And they beat them by three.
So that's why they're at home and they beat a team that's not even a D1 team. That's why they're the favorite. Okay. So I'm going with UTEP. I'm going with winless. I repeat, winless. 0-8 UTEP. They're the miners, right? They're going to mine their ass of victory. They're traveling to Rice Stadium. And by the way, tickets are going fast. According to Vivid Seats, starting as low as $5, that's the lowest we've ever seen. 433 tickets. 400, and I think they only fit like 5,000 people probably in the damn stadium. 433 tickets. Get them while they're hot. I'm going with the team that averages 15 points and haven't won this year. That's who I'm going with. The UTEP Miners, they're gonna get beat Rice, damn it. They're gonna beat Rice. Let's get the hell out of here. We're hitting the 90-minute mark right now, sir.
All right. Well, I 4 weeks ago I was asking for a good game to put for the crappy pick of the week. Now we've had like 8 of them in 2 weeks, so the gods have answered my calls and the bad teams keep losing. Holy God, this is I need to keep a log of this. We can look back in a couple of years of this. But on that note, thanks as always for listening. We love the listeners. You can always listen live.
I should get a Medal of Honor pick, dude. Some form of like the lesser Medal of Armor, for Christ's sake.
I'll have to mail something up, or when I come home for Christmas break, I'll give you a plaque or something, or some type of heart. Or maybe get you like a little toilet bowl with a little trophy on it. I don't know. So, as always, thanks for listening. We have big, big games in the SEC, as Chris said. And if LSU does find a way to beat Bama, that might be almost the whole show next week. That would be something. Because right now, Bama's on a roll, and no one's stopping them, and no one thinks they can stop them. Shit. Vegas has the biggest home field advantage in college football as a 2-touchdown dog. That's all you have to know for what Vegas thinks how good Bama is. So we will see. But come back next week. We will have plenty to break down. Hopefully UTEP gets a win for my boy over there back home in Minnesota, and they need a win. It's bad. So the boys are out tonight. Thanks for listening. Have a good night. Stay safe and healthy. Peace.